833-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us, whether you're listening to us over the airwaves here or, as you just heard Scott say, on the internet. We've had calls from people, especially people who either are from Butler or were originally from Butler, and they listen all over the country to us to find out what's going on here locally. Coming up on the program today, we're going to find out about the Mission Act, which is something new from the Veterans Administration. And also later on the program today, we're going to be chatting with Melissa Mahon, who is the site administrator at the Drake Well Museum. That's the birthplace of the oil industry just north of us in Titusville, Venango County. So that's coming up later. But first of all, we say hello to the director of VA Butler Healthcare, John LaSalle, is with us. Director, good to see you again. Nice to have you back with us.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having us back.
Also here is Liz Weber, who is the supervisor of care in the community. Liz, nice to have you here as well.
Thank you.
So we did a news story on this Mission Act, I don't know, a week or so ago, Director. It kicks in. It begins this week, I guess, right? Later this week?
Thursday, June 6th.
What exactly is the Mission Act?
So, say first, thanks for having us and letting us get together and bring information about the Mission Act to your listeners and to the community at large. So, you know, the Mission Act is really a tool that was granted to us by Congress that strengthens the VA's ability to provide high-quality, accessible health care to our veterans. It does this by increasing our options for health care delivery, including the addition of a new urgent care benefit, which we're going to talk about in a little bit.
Sure.
Improving our physical structure of the VA in general, and it also increases our ability to recruit, educate, and retain high-quality staff. The Mission Act is much more than community care, which is really kind of what we're here to talk about this morning is the community care piece of it. But as I just mentioned, it really gets after restructuring and giving us the VA new tools to help provide high quality and better care for our veterans.
Liz Weber, community care means, in a nutshell, that veterans, if they meet certain criteria, they can see a doctor outside of the VA system, is that right?
That is correct. They have to meet eligibility criteria, and we authorize them for community in the community.
Yes. So they could go to a regular general practitioner?
Yes, if they're in network. Yes, that's correct.
If they meet criteria, are there many? Is it difficult to meet those criteria?
There is a checklist of eligibility criteria that they do have to meet, yes.
Criteria such as what?
Like service connection, whether we have the service available. There's time frames, 30 minutes, 60 minutes to the VA, that kind of thing.
So if they live further away?
Yes.
Or if the particular medical service that they need is not provided
by
the Veterans Administration.
That's correct. Yeah.
Is it a complicated procedure to find out if a veteran meets these criteria?
No, it isn't. They're able to contact the care in the community, or they can speak to the provider when they come in for their appointment. How it all begins is through their actual provider, who looks for the services at the VA and distances, and then they place a consult, which then comes to care in the community, and then it's approved.
This is a new act. The Mission Act kicks off this week on June 6th, Director.
June 6th.
I'm sure they chose that date because it has great significance.
Oh, Dave, you know they did. It's extremely significant to our veterans, particularly our World War II veterans. You know, that is the 75th anniversary of the D-Day invasion of Normandy. I would like to back up just a second and kind of expand a little bit about eligibility for our listeners so they can kind of get an initial idea of how they would get eligible. So the Mission Act has spelled out about six criteria for eligibility in the community for community care. And it revolves around a number of things. One which Liz alluded to is drive times. And so you've got, broadly, it's primary care and specialty care. It's kind of how we've lumped these types of cares together. And so if it's a primary care, from a primary care perspective, what the eligibility criteria initially deals with is the drive time from your place of residence to the place of the episode of care, which is different than the Choice Act was. So the Choice Act was calculating the time from your residence to the point of care, the nearest point of care, regardless of whether it was the type of care you needed. And this was particularly problematic for our specialty care, mm-hmm. because for some of our listeners who are north of us, say in around the Armstrong area, 30 minutes to our Armstrong CBOC was probably good. But if they need a specialty care, then it used to be that it was to the point of the CBOC, even though their specialty care was provided perhaps maybe in Pittsburgh.
CBOC is what?
Yeah, community-based outpatient clinic. So mm-hmm. our VA clinic there in Armstrong.
So yeah. I'm just trying to expand on this a little bit more. If a veteran needed a particular service and he lived within 30 minutes of a community-based center, but the service wasn't available there, this is what's changing now, right?
That's exactly what's changing, mm-hmm. right. And so that drive time is changing from the point to point. So it's 30 minutes from the address to the point of care, and it's 30 minutes for primary care, and it's 60 minutes for specialty care. Now, some of our veterans, again, in the north area, may still be 60 minutes from Pittsburgh to specialty care.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a third-party administrator who is going to be Optum that's taking over this region and is building their network for us. But it's important to understand that even though it's more than 60 minutes to, say, Pittsburgh, they still may go to Pittsburgh because that care may not be available in the community, mm-hmm. up, say, in Armstrong or in Mercer area. So these may still opt to go to Pittsburgh or come to Butler VA at AB Abraham. So it's important to understand that it's still going to be the veteran's choice. And we believe that they're going to choose the VA. We're certain of that. So that's one category. That's the drive time category. The other mm-hmm. category is related to wait times. And so for primary care, again, it's 20 days. And so if your next appointment available through the VA is more than 20 days, then you can be eligible for community care. If it's more than 28 days for specialty care, then you would be eligible for care in the community. Again, that doesn't mean that, particularly for specialty care, it doesn't mean that you're going to want to take community care because, you know, Dartmouth published a study, and it's true for Butler, that in large, we have better wait times than any other healthcare system in the U.S.
I was going to say, try to schedule an appointment in the community with a specialist, you know, whatever you want, a cardiac specialist, a respiratory specialist. They're booked well in advance.
Months.
Certainly more than 28 days.
You're right, almost months. All the time. And so, you know, it's still going to likely be the best case scenario that the VA meets or beats mm-hmm. The standard, you know, for wait times in the community. So that's two of the categories. Another category which we're really excited about is a category called best medical interest, and that's really about a discussion with your provider where they make some determinations of whether it's the best medical interest for you to be seen in the community or to be seen with the VA. Let me give you an example. Again, I'll stay in the north here. So let's say you live in the north and you have a hard time driving.
Okay.
And even though we're meeting wait times and we're meeting drive time standards, it's still difficult for some of our veterans to drive an hour to Pittsburgh. And so it may be in your best medical interest to be seen in the community, even though we're meeting wait times and drive time standards. And so that's a discussion for the veteran to have with their providers. And we've actually implemented a special tool to ensure that that communication occurs during the visit with their providers.
So, Liz, just make sure I understand this. Say a veteran does meet these criteria and chooses to get his medical services in the community as opposed to with a VA physician. Is it still covered? Is the cost still covered, just as if he were going to a VA doctor?
Yeah, the VA would cover the bill. However, if the veteran has a VA copay, they would be responsible, depending on what priority group they would fall under. So there could be a possibility they would be responsible for a copay.
So as I understand it, one of the reasons for this, the rationale, is to try to reduce wait time for veterans to get an appointment for medical care. But it's been my understanding that, you know, some of these really long wait times that we're hearing on the national news have not really applied here in Butler, to Butler VA Healthcare, where there haven't really been those long wait
times. Dave, you're spot on there. The Butler VA, we do a fantastic job with managing our wait times and our access. We have no issue. In fact, we're continuing to add services to our community-based outpatient clinics and to our healthcare center in Avery Abraham. And to that point, I mentioned about the urgent care service that's going to be available now, a benefit that's going to be available. So the urgent care benefit is a new benefit that's been brought into as a result of the Mission Act. And what that does is based on your priority. So veterans are assigned a priority group when they enroll based on their service connection disability, ability to pay, and a number of other things. But they're assigned a priority group. And so first, before we get into that, I would urge that every veteran find out what priority group that they are in. It's important for a number of reasons, but you should know which priority group you are in. It does also impact your copay. So the urgent care benefit is going to authorize three free urgent care visits in an in-network urgent care facility for all priorities 1 through 5, and then some sixes, some sevens, but then the eights are going to have a $30 copay. But still, it's a great tool, particularly in our area, where Butler VA is a Monday through Friday 8 to 5 business, and sometimes our veterans wake up on a Saturday morning and don't feel well and need to see a doctor. And so this urgent care benefit allows them to go see an in network urgent care facility at no cost to them 3 times. Again, if you're in the priority group 1 through 5, 3 times in a year, and so that's just a great opportunity, a great tool that, again, that the Congress has given us to take care of our veterans.
We're talking, listeners, if you've joined us a few minutes late on It's Your Turn today, John LaSalle is here. He's the director of VA Butler Healthcare. And we're also pleased to be chatting with Liz Weber, the care in the community supervisor. This term, priority group, is new to me. I'm not familiar with that. So you're saying when a veteran initially registers with the VA, at that time they're assigned a priority group number? Is that when that happens?
Yes, that is correct. It's depending on their service connection. And yes, they will be given a rank of 1 to 8. And depending on their priority group would specify which copay if sent out in the community.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just guessing that if you were, say, combat-related injury, you would be higher on the priority list. Would that be correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Would that put you up to a number one?
I'm not sure.
It could. Certainly.
Depending, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Obviously, our priority ones are 100%, are 70 or more percent service-connected. There are some other categories, non-employable individuals, veterans, that fall into category one, but vast majority of our veterans are in the 1 through 5. There are some that are Category 8, but that's really based on a means test where they don't have any other ability usually to get health care, and you know, the VA is absolutely there to take care of our veterans regardless of the ability to pay. Yeah.
I want to make sure and understand that just because you're a veteran, man or woman, and you're discharged honorably, you're not registered with the Veterans Administration. You have to actually take that step, right?
You're absolutely right, Dave. You have got to take that 214 down to the VA and register. And I implore every veteran that's not at least registered with the VA to come down and see us and let us take care of you. There are so many benefits and eligibilities that so many of our veterans don't realize that they have just because they just haven't been down to see us. And so, again, it's absolutely, it's your benefit, it's your eligibility and entitlement. Come down and see us. You will be surprised at all of the benefits that you're eligible for.
214 is a dishonorable discharge. Would I be guessing
no,
correctly on
no,
that?
No, so the DD-214 is the discharge form. On the bottom of the discharge form, the DD-214 will have the characterization of your discharge.
Okay.
So by and large, you do need to be honorable, but that doesn't mean that there aren't other benefits for general and other characterizations of discharges.
Yeah. There's no obligation if you register, right?
Absolutely not.
Is there a charge?
There's absolutely no charge.
So why wouldn't everyone do it? That doesn't make any sense to me. You know?
Great question. Yeah, great question.
Yeah. If nothing else, you can get information on the wide variety of benefits that are available. Benefits, by the way, that you earned.
That's right.
You know,
earned.
As a veteran.
Earned them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Earned them. So I do want to just continue the discussion about urgent care. So I was talking about the urgent care benefit that the Mission Act gave us. And I kind of alluded to the addition of services that the Butler VA has been taking a challenge mm-hmm. of bringing into our facility. Well, one of those is that we're bringing an urgent care service to the Butler VA. So I want to make sure, first of all, that our listeners and our veterans know that we have walk-in. We have same-day appointments available. So, you know, there's not necessarily that you have to wait and make an appointment. We have walk-in. But we're going to increase that capability by adding an urgent care service, which is very similar. It's not emergent care. It's urgent care. Very similar to some of the other urgent care centers that we have in the local area. And so we're really looking forward to bringing that service. And please listen in the coming months as we get ready to roll that out. Please be cognizant that that's coming and keep a watchful eye out for it.
Any potential timetable for that, or is it too early to say?
Well, it might be a little bit premature to give you a date. We have some of the enablers in place now. We've got a couple of other milestones to get to. I hope to have it within about the next 60 days, but that might be a little bit premature today mm-hmm. to say.
So yeah. This would be similar to an urgent care center that we see out in the community?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Will it be at the A.B. Abraham VA Medical Center?
It will be at the A.B. Abraham Medical Center, and the hours that we're looking to run it is like from 7 to 7. So it'll mm-hmm. be a little bit extended past our current hours, but we understand that there are veterans that get off work and need to go see the doctor because they don't have vacation or leave that they can take during the day,
yeah.
and that people wake up early in the morning and don't feel so great and would like to come in and see. So initially, we're looking at a 7 to 7. So, again, that's a great benefit that we're going to be adding and a service that we're going to be adding here at Butler.
Liz Weber, a question for you. Once a veteran qualifies, meets mm-hmm. these criteria that you were enumerating for us, and I guess it's any of those various criteria, mm-hmm. you meet any one of them, you're eligible. Are you eligible then in the future, or any time you needed a particular medical service, would you have to go through this process again to determine if you are eligible?
Well, it would depend on what the service is, if it's offered at the VA, and where you're going to. So each time it would have to be looked at.
Mm-hmm. Some VA medical centers have specialty services. Others might have different specialty services. Some, I suppose, don't have that many. So yep. It would all depend. Now, the VA medical centers here in our area would be Butler, of course,
mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh to the south, and right. Erie to the north.
That's right.
And those are the three in western Pennsylvania, I believe.
That's the western market.
Yeah. Now, we do have, Director, we have a number of community-based, like, satellite offices nowadays, right?
That's right.
You mentioned there's one in Armstrong. Are there others?
Yep, there's one in Lawrence County. There's one up in Mercer and in Cranberry proper.
What services are available there, like lab testing and stuff?
Or so that we do primary care. We have embedded behavioral health. We have lab. Several of the facilities have X-ray capability. So some of our facilities, based on demand, we do certain VTC or certain VVCs with them. So that's the VA Video Connect. I don't know if you've seen the recent commercials that have been on TV, but the VA offers a VA, what we call VA Video Connect, where you can connect with your provider from your phone, from your iPad, from your computer. And so they can do that with providers at the local, at the C-Box or, mm-hmm. or wherever they are, whether the provider is in Pittsburgh or whether the provider is in Philadelphia. But primarily the C-Box are outpatient, right, outpatient care.
The changing face of the delivery of health care across
right.
the country, and the Veterans Administration is keeping up with this. Yeah, keeping up with this.
Absolutely.
What about mental health services, Liz? Do they also qualify under this program?
Yes, it would. Depending the drive time, the wait time, that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
it would all have to be looked at.
So if you were needed to see a counselor or something or mm-hmm. whatever...
Yes, we have a wide variety of mental health services that we offer at the VA.
Mm-hmm. What if there's a veteran listening or family member and they're not sure whether they meet any of these criteria? Can they call? Is there a website somewhere? How do they find out if they qualify?
Well, that's a great question, Dave. So the VA has obviously taken this very serious. And so starting on Thursday, when you call Butler,
mm-hmm.
You'll have a new option on the phone tree, which is option 6. And option 6 will route you to a national call center that can answer your questions for you regarding eligibility, regarding what is the Mission Act, what does it mean to me. So it's not available today, right? Make sure we understand that it's going to be available on the 6th of June. And by and large, throughout the nation, it will be option 6, but some of the facilities have already used option 6 on their phone tree.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll have to listen to the full tree to hear which message, which number option it is. But at Butler, it will be option 6.
This is a major program to roll out, especially since it's happening all over the country. We hope it goes as smoothly as possible. One would expect there would have to be some snags along the way. My goodness, you're rolling this out at how many VA medical centers across the country? There's hundreds of them.
141, to be exact. That's right, 141 medical centers will all be rolling out on the 6th of June.
Mm. Obviously, this was approved in Washington, right, the Mission Act?
1 year ago on the 6th,
mm-hmm.
D-Day 2018.
Mm. Well, it sounds terrific. Anything else that listeners need to know, Liz, about this? Obviously, it applies to both men and women veterans, so obviously.
No, just make sure you enroll. And like Mr. LaSalle said, find out your priority group. So if you need to use the care, that we are able to move forward.
Let me just make sure that listeners and veterans and veterans family members understand that it's not a carte blanche for care. The care has to be received in the community. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the network. So again, our third party administrator is busy working on building that community, on that network. We've got most of our providers that we use in this area have signed up to be part of the network. However, not all of them are. So it's always best to, if you have a question, to make sure that urgent, for example, the urgent care center you want to go to is in the network. And mm-hmm. again, there's a website that will roll out that tells you where the eligibility is, what facilities, what urgent care facilities are considered in network.
And this could change over time. It'd probably be like a formulary, like you see for prescription care.
Absolutely.
Well, it's a wonderful program, that's for sure.
Well, we're excited about it.
Yeah, I think we should be. I think everybody should be excited
about it. I
agree.
I'm a veteran, and I'm excited about it.
A couple of other things I wanted to mention while we've got you here. It was just a couple of weeks ago that another mental health summit was hosted by VA Butler Healthcare. Nothing new. They've been doing this for several years now.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Well, you know, we continue to really put a lot of emphasis on behavioral health over the last few years, which is really a great thing. It has for so many years carried a stigma, and we continue to break that stigma down, and we continue to find new ways to provide the care to our veterans that they need. And we continue to help veterans to realize that they need that care. That's really the key, is that we have so many veterans that just won't come and see us, even though they really need to. And so, but we continue to see that stigma broken. And I'm really glad, and I really appreciate that, that as an organization, we're breaking that down.
Yes, and my goodness, the stigma of seeking help, behavioral health care. I hope that's being broken down, for
every
goodness
day.
Sakes.
Every yeah. day. Every day.
Very, very yeah. important. One other thing I wanted to mention that happened recently, that was the 9th annual VA 2K Walk and Roll.
Yeah.
Or what if that was last month too, wasn't it?
That was. Yeah. What a great event that was. It's the VA's effort to end homelessness. It plagues us everywhere. We have many, many programs where we're trying to reach out and find veterans that are homeless, that are living in the street, in the woods, under bridges. And, this VA2K walk and roll is just another way that we can raise money to help, combat homelessness. Just this morning I was reading a story, an email that I got, that we had a team down in San Antonio, a homeless team down in San Antonio, at a conference. And one of our staff identified that a member of the hotel where they were staying at, where he was staying at, was homeless, living in his car, and was a veteran. And he took it upon himself personally, Pete, took it upon himself personally to get that guy hooked up with the San Antonio VA and get him some the help he needs so he's not homeless anymore. So it's such a problem that I don't think the mainstream America realizes all how many homeless veterans we have out there. And so, again, back to the question, the VA2K is another way that we get after homelessness for our veterans.
For goodness sakes, if you know a veteran who's facing this problem, make sure and have them get in touch with the Veterans Administration, the VA. Get registered with the VA. Find out what's available. Because they're hurt.
Sorry, Dave. Ron Christopher. I'm sorry. I said Pete. I was thinking about our behavioral health suicide prevention individual. But, Ron Christopher was the gentleman that was down in San Antonio. So people like himself, who once was homeless, are doing what they can every day to make it better for our veterans.
And don't forget, more information on the Mission Act. It's not They're not rolling it out yet. It's a couple of days down the road. It's Thursday of this week. But starting on Thursday, this wonderful new program will roll out not only here in Butler at VA Butler Healthcare, but across the country. Well, thanks for stopping in and explaining this. I had heard about it, but I really did not know any of the details. So it's been an eye-opener for me. I'm glad you were here today.
Well, thanks for inviting us, Dave. It's so important that we reach as many people as we can to tell them the good news of the Mission Act. It is a great benefit, and it's a wonderful tool that, again, Congress has given to the VA to help strengthen our ability to take care of our veterans.
John LaSalle is the director of VA Butler Healthcare. Liz Weber is the care in the community supervisor, our guest here today. Nice to have you again.
Thanks,
Thank
Dave.
You.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the Drake Well Museum, the birthplace of the oil industry. And it's only a stone's throw from us. How about that? And we'll be chatting with Melissa Mann in just a couple of minutes. So stick around. More on It's Your Turn, Monday edition, right after these words.
Thinking about remodeling or refinancing your home? ARMCO Credit Union's new HELOC combines the flexibility of a traditional home equity line of credit with the low fixed rate of a home equity loan. Lock in different amounts, rates, and terms up to 20 years under one convenient loan agreement and monthly payment without the hassle of reapplying as your borrowing needs change. It's never been easier to join, so call or visit us at one of our locations or online at armcocu.com to become a member. ARMCO Credit Union is an equal housing lender and is federally insured by NCUA.
Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler can answer your questions about cremation. Is it appropriate for your loved ones? Should there be a funeral service? Keep in mind that even with cremation, it is time to celebrate how meaningful and important was the life of your loved one. Is cremation appropriate for your family? How would they feel about it? And what's the cost? Cremation has three advantages: simplicity, convenience, and it's local. The Thompson Miller Cremation Program is right here in Butler at our newly created facility. We assure you that your loved one will never leave our care at any point in the process. So let's talk it over privately right here at Thompson Miller in Butler. Call us at 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or online at www.thompson-miller.com. Thompson Miller, at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
Welcome back. It's the Monday edition. It's your turn here on WISR. Sunny, but a little on the cool side. We are nearing 60 degrees, so it's not frigid, but probably need your jacket if you're going to step outside today. Stay in the sun. Hey, we're anxious to chat with our next guest on It's Your Turn today. She is Melissa Mann, and Melissa is the site administrator at the Drake Well Museum. Melissa, nice to talk to you today. Thanks for being with us.
You too. Thanks for having me.
We're into the warm weather season, the summer season. A lot of folks will be thinking about day trips, and hop, skip, and a jump from Butler to Titusville and the Drake Well Museum. And I'm sure you have a lot of things planned for this summer up there, do you not?
We do, we do. And if folks haven't been here in a while from the Butler area, we just underwent a multi-million dollar renovation in 2012. We reopened, and so if you haven't been here since the fourth grade, we look quite a bit different and have new exhibits, so we'd be very excited to see folks.
So are you right in Titusville or just outside of Titusville?
We are just outside Titusville, just off Route 8. We're just south of the city limits.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody in Butler knows where Route 8 is. It goes right through Butler.
Absolutely.
So.
Yep. If you hop on Route 8, just keep driving, you'll find us.
Yeah, it's not that far. Actually, the site, the Drake Well Museum, is quite a bit bigger than most folks would realize. You have, what, 250 acres, something like that?
Yep, we have just under 250 acres, and it includes the museum and the outdoor exhibit area, which is about 5 acres. And then we just have just some beautiful recreational property here, hiking, biking, world-class fly fishing in Oil Creek, bird watching, anything that you could think of doing, we have here recreationally. And our property actually abuts to Oil Creek State Park, which is 9,000 acres.
Mm. I think most of our listeners would be familiar, even if they haven't been there, familiar with the picture of Drake's Well, Edwin Drake's Well. That's still there, right?
Absolutely. So our main attraction is, we call it the replica, but it is a replica of Drake's second engine house. The first one burnt down. We have photographs of the second engine house. And so in 1945, they built a board-for-board replica based on those photographs. And it protects the National Historic Landmark, which is the actual Drake Well. It is still at 59 and a half feet.
Wow.
It does not pump oil anymore, but we have it set up for an exhibit so it looks like it pumps oil.
So the familiar picture that we see, what appears to be a derrick beside the oil well, is that in fact what it is, a derrick?
That is exactly, almost exactly what it looks like today, yes. We use those photographs taken by photographer John Mather at the time and created measured drawings from them and created the replica of the engine house.
So what exactly was in the engine house? An engine, obviously, but what was that used for, Melissa?
So, and it's interesting because when most people think of derricks today, you think of, you know, just the what would be at one end of that building, right? The very tall section.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's what a standard derrick looks like today. But Drake built his engine house to kind of to encompass the engine as well as the derrick portion. So there was a 12-horsepower steam-driven engine in Drake's engine house, which was quite different than how most people following Drake drilled, because not everybody could afford an engine like that. And actually, Drake was sent by the Seneca Oil Company, so he was kind of the project manager who was sent out to drill the well. And so they backed him, and so he was able to purchase in Erie, Pennsylvania, this engine and steam boiler system. And then it was hooked to a percussion drilling apparatus, and then the derrick was used for the drilling portion.
Only 59 feet down. Most people.
The only place in the entire Oil Creek Valley where you can hit oil at 59 and a half feet.
Not very far down at all. How did Drake know to drill right here? Was oil seeping out of the ground or something that gave him a hint?
So in Pennsylvania, oil naturally seeps out of the ground. And this was an area we are... If you've been to the museum, you know that we're kind of the whole place is in a floodplain because it's so close, and on the flats of Oil Creek. It was at one time in our parking lot. There was the Brewer and Watson Lumber Mill, and this was an area where there were natural seeps of oil. And so Drake chose this particular place after conferring with Brewer and Watson. Because there were natural seeps in the area.
So he kind of figured he was going to hit oil, probably didn't know how soon or how much. Was this a well that produced copious amounts of oil or no?
Well, when it struck, it produced 20 barrels of oil a day, which was the most oil produced out of a well in the entire world at that time.
Mm-hmm. Now, oil had been discovered. I mean, there were other places where it seeps out, but this
oil has been around for millennia.
Yeah.
And has been used by all ancient societies.
But Drake's Well is considered the birthplace of the modern petroleum industry, right?
Right. So that's kind of our claim to fame, is that this is where the industry and when the industry really takes off. Because there had been wells, there were wells in Canada that were dug by hand, and that were producing, but there was a demand at this time because whale oil had skyrocketed in price because it wasn't as plentiful because we were hunting whales to extinction, so lighting homes was becoming extremely expensive, and so folks were starting to look for a plentiful product that could be distilled into an inexpensive lamp fuel. And Samuel Keir of Pittsburgh, or Trentum, discovered that you could distill crude oil into kerosene. And so Keir was one of the first customers of the Drake Well. Oil from here was sent down to Keir in Pittsburgh and distilled into kerosene.
When did Drake drill this well at Titusville?
It starts in 1858, and it's completed on August 27th, 1859.
So obviously this predates the automobile. It seems kind of funny for people to realize that, you know, the driving force behind this had nothing to do with powering cars and trucks. It was to develop something that you could put in your lamp and light it.
Exactly. And it's so interesting. One of the interesting stories about the industry is that it never gives up. It's, you know, the ingenuity. You know, when Edison and the light bulb come around and lamps are going out of style and electricity is new, they don't just, you know, kind of fold up shop and say, oh, well, no use for kerosene anymore. we're going to go find something else to do. No, they are saying, oh, the combustion engine is happening around this time as well. And so this nasty byproduct of refining gasoline that we haven't been using before, oh, now suddenly it has a use. And so what the industry has done over 150 years is figured out how to use every drop of oil in a barrel of oil.
We're talking with Melissa Mann. She is site administrator at the Drake Well Museum outside of Titusville. And if you haven't been there in a long time, or maybe you've never been there, it's been renovated recently. And are you open every day during the warm weather months, Melissa?
So we are open to the public every day but Monday. Okay. We're closed on Mondays. We're open Tuesday through Saturday, 9 to 5, and on Sundays from noon to 5.
What's the admission charge?
Admission for adults is $10. For seniors 65 and older, it's $8. And for youth 3 to 11 years, it's $5. Ages 2 and under are free.
Very reasonable. What do people get for the admission? What happens when they get inside?
So they have access to all of our exhibits, which is the interior exhibit. Our permanent exhibit is 10,000 square feet, and there are over 600 artifacts on display, and hands-on activities, and audio-visual exhibits as well. We have a new orientation film that comes with your admission, and 5 acres of exterior exhibits, which are now all up and running for the season. So one of the great things I think about our museum is that you can see oil field equipment in operation here. So the Drake Well exhibit out on the grounds, you can see that steam engine working and how it pumps oil out of the ground. You can see what a central power oil lease looks like. You can hear it. You can hear all of the rod lines squeaking back and forth as they move pump jacks up and down all over the grounds. So it's really, you know, to be able to use all of your senses and get the kind of full experience of what an oil lease might look and sound and feel like is really something special.
I was going to ask you about pump jacks, if that's the basic technology that Drake used to get the oil out of the ground. Listeners, if you're not familiar with that term, you've probably seen pictures of it, especially maybe from Texas, where they have these huge pump jacks going that they go up and down.
Pump jacks are really important in Pennsylvania because Pennsylvania production is reliant on constant pumping because there's not enough gas pressure here to create what we call flowing wells, like you'll have seen, you know, pictures from Texas when their oil fields came in, these gushers that are spouting oil out the top of the derricks. We didn't have that here. We had, you know, for a little while when they hit the fourth sand, the Venango fourth sand, and they, you know, very early on in the early 1860s, when they didn't know to expect that much oil coming out at once, and they didn't know what to do with it. But once they got a handle on it, you know, you constantly have to pump in Pennsylvania. So pumping jacks become extremely important here.
So that's what the engine that you were talking about a little earlier,
right,
that Drake installed there, that was to power the pumping jack, right?
Well, it was first to power the drilling, so it helped with the percussion drilling, and then once the well came in, they switched it over to production, and then it starts pulling oil and water, brine, out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Oil and water come out of the ground together here.
And this engine, and there were different models that were developed as the oil industry exploded here in western Pennsylvania.
Absolutely.
And there would sometimes be, I'm trying to remember my terms here, so correct me if I'm wrong, Melissa, there would be a powerhouse from which many shackle lines would extend, and they would power pump jacks in other nearby locations, correct?
Absolutely. And so as drilling and pumping is becoming more efficient, you know, it costs money to put an engine on every wellhead. And so they're trying to think, well, how can we do this in a more efficient manner? So the Oil Well Supply Company out of Oil City creates an eccentric. And essentially what that is two very large gears that an engine turns round, and then the offset disc are where those rod lines connect. And so one engine could pump up to 20 or 30 wellheads at the same time using this setup. And we call it the Central Power Oil Lease here, and that's, we have one of those set up here. It's hooked up to about 10 pumping jacks.
Fascinating to watch, and also a very distinctive sound when you're listening to this.
Absolutely. Every engine house, powerhouse, had its own barker. And essentially what that is when the engine would exhaust, it would flow through this tube that would create this barking sound. They called it a barker because it sounds like a dog. The engine pants. And then when it exhausts, it sounds like a bark of a dog. But every barker sounded slightly different, and so every producer knew what theirs sounded like. So if they're, you know, a mile away at their house, you know, having dinner with the windows open on a nice summer evening, and they can't hear their barker, they know that they're not making money, they're not producing any oil, and that there's something wrong.
You know, Melissa, when I was a kid, I'm talking, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old, I guess. My hometown was near the Bear Creek Gorge along the Allegheny River. And
mm-hmm.
I can remember at nights, if you'd get a clear night, a still night, with the windows open in the bedroom, you could hear engines of pump houses going, you know, from sometimes miles away. You could hear
yeah.
that distinctive thump, you know, of
absolutely
the wells pumping.
And there are still folks today that pump in that traditional manner.
Who was
really
this Edwin Drake, anyway? Was he a genius? Was he a businessman? Was he lucky? Was he all of the above?
Oh, I think he was a little of all of those. He was also unlucky. he's kind of our, you know, I always think of him, you know, when I think of Drake and the entire story, he's kind of a tragic character, really. He loses his first wife, remarries. He's always kind of sickly and has medical issues. And he was a conductor on the railroad for a while. That's really why he got the job with the Seneca Oil Company, because they needed somebody to come to Erie and down to Titusville. And he had free lifetime rides on the railway.
Wow.
And so they didn't have to pay his travel. and they sent him down here. And honestly, you know, while Titusville is a lovely and welcoming place, they weren't always kind to him because they thought what he was doing was ridiculous, because nobody had ever drilled for oil. Huh. Oil just naturally came out of the ground. They thought it was, you know, a fool's errand,
yeah,
what he was trying to do. And then, you know, the Seneca Oil Company didn't always send him his payments. So he had a hard go of it. And then, you know, he had this brilliant idea, because what he was doing here, because our water table is so high, he was trying to drill down, and the holes just kept collapsing on themselves. And so the idea that he came up with was to take an iron pipe and a cast iron pipe and pound it down to bedrock, and then to drill inside that pipe.
Mm-hmm.
He invented the drive pipe, mm-hmm, which is still used today in every drilling operation, but he didn't patent it. If he had patented it, he would have been a multimillionaire. His heirs would still be multimillionaires. But unfortunately, he didn't, and he died a pauper.
Wow!
And so he's real, you know, really intriguing, and in some ways very brilliant, but also very tragic.
I'm sure that his story is detailed at the Drake Well Museum too. Right?
Absolutely, and we have some really great artifacts from him and his family when they were here in Titusville.
A quick break. I have a couple more questions for Melissa. Please stick with us. We'll be back to talk more in just a moment here on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. One of our sponsors on the program today is Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. They package your items for shipping. How convenient is that? You can ship any way you want. I mean, you know, U.S. Postal Service, UPS, FedEx, that's your choice. But they'll package things up for you. They also offer copying service, scanning, faxing. You can rent a temporary mailbox at Going Postal Butler. They even have an official notary. Where are they? They're in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex, which is right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants on Newcastle Road here in Butler. Call them for more info. They're open Monday through Friday, 724-841-0044. Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location downtown Butler to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Back, we're chatting with Melissa Mann. Melissa is site administrator at the Drake Well Museum just outside of Titusville. You have some satellite heritage sites up there, too. A place called Historic Pit Hole City. Where's that, and what was that, Melissa?
Well, Historic Pit Hole City is located off Route 8, about 6 or 7 miles to Pit Hole Road. We have a visitor center there and about an 80-acre historic site. It was one of the first boom towns, oil boom towns, in the early oil period in Pennsylvania. Most of the, you know, prior, so it comes in 1865. Prior to that, all of the oil production and drilling is really happening along Oil Creek.
Mm-hmm.
It's proven, it's safe. You know, people feel good about trying their luck in the Oil Creek Valley. Some wildcatters decide to go out to Pit Hole Creek and try their luck out there. And they put down a well, and in January of 1865, that well comes in, and it's oil fever all over again. Every time there's a new strike, you know, a really good new strike in a new place, you know, people really just flock to that place and try their luck. What happens on Pit Hole Creek is that Pit Hole City kind of just appears out of thin air, and it doesn't last for very long, just over 500 days. But at one point, there are 15,000 people living on this hillside.
Oh, my. Wow.
In this, they had the third largest post office by volume in the state.
Hmm. Your other satellite historic site is McClintock Well Number 1.
Yes.
What's that?
McClintock Well Number 1 was drilled in 1861, and it's just off Route 8 in Rouseville. And it is the world's oldest continuously producing oil well. Like I said, it's from 1861. We still pump it, and we sell our oil to the American Refining Group in Bradford. We also sell crude oil here in our gift shop from McClintock, and we use the proceeds from that from those sales to keep McClintock up and running, to maintain that site.
1861, folks. 1861. During the Civil War, and it's still pumping oil.
Yep, still pumping oil. Wow. When we pump it, it produces about 7 or 8 barrels of oil every time we pump it.
Wow. Hey, folks, there's no better time to head up to Titusville and see the Drake Well Museum than actually this coming weekend. You've got your Wildcatter Festival coming. That's this weekend, isn't it, Melissa?
It is. It's on June 8th from 10 to 4 at Historic Pit Hole City. It's our big annual event, summer event, out at Historic Pit Hole City. We're going to have, it's really a living history festival. So we have a number of living history demonstrators, from blacksmiths to weavers, to barrel makers. We have, Civil War reenactors, open fire cooking demonstrations. We do guided walking tours of the site. It's a whole lot of fun.
And there'll be special admission prices for that this Saturday, too. $8, right?
Yep, it's $8 for adults and $5 for youth. And kids that are 4 years and younger are free. And we also have a special group admission rate. So if you buy 2 adult tickets for $20, you get 3 youth tickets for free.
Hmm. And that, again, is this Saturday. What are the hours for the Wildcatter Festival, Melissa?
It's 10 to 4 at Historic Pit Hole City.
Anything else coming up in the summer? Any other special events or days?
We have this summer, we also do a summer camp for kids ages 8 through 12. We call it Discovery Days. It's every Thursday in July, except for the 4th this year. So it's July 11th, 18th, and 25th, and then August 1st. So we do 4 consecutive Thursdays, and each session has a different theme to it. It's all around environment and oil history. So we do nature walks with folks from Oil Creek State Park, and they learn about transportation. They're going to ride the Oil Creek and Titusville Historic Railroad this year and learn about transporting oil in the 19th century. Lots of hands-on activities and crafts and just a whole lot of fun for kids.
Do you get visitors from around the world to the Drake Well Museum, Melissa?
We do. We see about between 40 and 45,000 visitors every year, and we see about between 3 and 5% of those folks are international visitors.
Wow.
From all over the globe.
Well, why not, folks? It's the birthplace of the modern petroleum industry, not the discovery of oil. That had been around, as Melissa said, for millennia, but the modern petroleum industry, and who could imagine? I mean, it's unthinkable today to try to imagine a world without oil and gasoline. But Not when Colonel Drake drilled his well back in
no,
the
1860s. Before that, it was a nasty byproduct of salt well drilling. They were just throwing it in rivers and creeks and on the ground and didn't know what to do with it. It runs our lives.
It all happened not very far from us in Titusville, which is that still in Venango County, or are you up in over the Venango County line?
So the museum itself is in Venango County. We are just south of the county line.
Well, an interesting trip, and as Melissa said, if you haven't been there for a while, renovation recently completed. Looks pretty good up there now. Melissa, thanks for chatting with us today. This is very interesting.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Oh, sure. Nice to talk with you.
You too.
So long. Melissa Mann, site administrator for the Drake Well Museum. Have you been there? Maybe you ought to think about going up this summer. Yeah. That wraps up our program. We thank Melissa. We thank our earlier guests, too. John LaSalle, director of VA Butler Healthcare, and Liz Weber from VA Butler Healthcare, care in the community supervisor. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. I'm Dave Malarkey. We'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR, 1230 weekdays.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.